Welcome to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. How long does a digital prostate examination take? About 10 seconds. That's all it takes to find out if a doctor needs to do more tests or send you home until the next time. This Saturday, the Howard University Cancer Center's Men Take 10 program is offering free prostate testing vouchers for the first 50 men over the age of 40 to register for the event. And on this Medical Monday, we're talking about why this is so important. My guests are Dr. Adam Metwalli, Chief of the Urology Division of Howard University's Cancer Center, and Clinton Burnside, the Senior Outreach Coordinator for the Howard University Cancer Center. If you have comments or questions, now is the time to give us a call. The doctor is in, and we are also talking about this really important event this weekend. Give us a call right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at hfisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Metwalli, thank you so much for joining the program again.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Sure thing. Clinton, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me as well.
So let me start with you, Clinton. Okay, this is not Prostate Awareness Month. It's not No Shave November. It's not, you know, Love a Brother Week. It's not, you know, Check on Your Husband Month. So why talk about this now?
Well, that's a very good question. And, you know, I think my response to that is, it may not be prostate cancer or even men's health awareness, but guess what? We are still impacted by the issues with prostate health year-round. So it's very important that we continue this dialogue year-round so that men don't have to start the dialogue when they have problems. If we continue the dialogue year-round, men will already be familiar with it, and the key for us is really to early detection, to get men to go in to talk with their doctor and at least start the conversation sooner rather than later. So that's why it's important that we do this year-round when it's not historically a month that we recognize for prostate or men's health awareness.
Yes, because I would imagine prostate cancer has neither a clock nor calendar.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Talk to me about what's happening on Saturday before we even get into some of the medical questions and the like, because, you know, I'm encouraged when I was looking at the information, you know, free vouchers for exams. I mean, the reality is that healthcare is expensive, even if you have insurance. And cancer is very expensive, particularly when there's always the risk that it could cost you your life. So talk to me about the specifics of Saturday's event, how people can register and what they can expect.
Okay. So the first question would be, how do they get the information? So the quickest way to get the information would be to follow us, meaning the Cancer Center, on Twitter at HUCCDC, or you can go to Eventbrite and do a search for the Black Walnut, and you'll find it on Eventbrite, because that's how men are able to register for this event on Saturday.
And you said so Black Walnut as in the nut, Black Walnut, WALNUT?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay, go ahead.
So now, I wasn't involved in writing or anything with this film other than just having this opportunity to bring it to our community here at Howard this coming Saturday. However, it's an excellent title because the prostate is about the size of a walnut. And so we want to, so this film really focuses on the impact that prostate cancer can have, particularly on Black men. But it's not just limited to Black men, because every male can experience issues with prostate cancer. But this particular film really emphasizes prostate health and the importance of working together and with others around prostate health. And so we were afforded this opportunity to partner with Emmanuel Health Education Incorporated, as well as Terravision Entertainment Network, to bring this film completely free of charge to everyone that's interested. So we encourage you to go and register now to reserve your spot. And so what we plan on doing on Saturday is to show the film. Then we're going to have a quick discussion about the film and prostate health in general. And then immediately following, we will offer prostate cancer screenings for those that are interested.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very important event. And it's more than just watching a movie and just hanging out with the guys. We really want to encourage action in addition to this knowledge that you're going to be getting.
So this is going to be at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Yes. So the program starts at 10. And so, we have, just a few people that we want to greet the crowd or the audience. And then we'll start the movie probably around 10:30-ish.
Okay.
So we're expecting that to be finished about an hour and a half after that.
But the most important thing for those of you who are listening right now who want to attend this event and also be eligible for the free prostate cancer screening, if you go to Eventbrite, make sure you put in the search Black Walnut. And as always, I'll make sure that we post that link on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight so that you have an opportunity to register. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about prostate health. No time like the present to remind people that, particularly men, and particularly men of color, that you need to really focus on this. Dr. Metwalli, are you still encountering pushback from patients or even would-be patients that you may interact with about focusing on this issue?
Absolutely. Discussed in the past that there are a lot of men who like to bury their head in the sand, and it's not really causing them any problems. They're not having any symptoms, and so they're not so interested in being screened, particularly when they know that the screening involves the digital rectal exam, which is putting your index finger in the anus and quickly taking a feel of the prostate to make sure that it feels normal. And that's a deal breaker for some guys. So, yeah, it continues to be an issue.
Mm-hmm. What is normal?
Well, as Clinton rightly pointed out, the prostate should be roughly about the size of a walnut. Now, as men age, it's not uncommon for it to grow somewhat. So if it's a little bit bigger than that, that's fine. It should be symmetrical, and it should have sort of a rubbery consistency, like your index finger and pressed on the end of your nose. That's how a prostate should feel. So when we put our fingers in there to take a feel, we want to make sure we get a kind of a ballpark estimate of the size, although size estimates using your finger aren't that great because you're only feeling half of the prostate. But more important, you want to feel for the consistency of it, because it should have a pretty uniform consistency and it should be symmetrical. We're symmetrical beings. We got two eyes, two ears and two arms, and they all kind of look the same more or less. And that's the way a prostate should be. It has two halves that should be roughly the same. So if one side is bigger than the other or more worryingly harder than the other, that's a problem that needs to be investigated further. And if you feel any bumps on it, like a pea-sized nodule that's a little bit hard, that can often be the sign of an early prostate cancer. And so there is a small percentage of prostate cancers that are picked up that way when the PSA is still within the normal range. I occasionally will have patients who say, look, the PSA is fine, but you're not doing that to me. And I was told by my, cousin, brother, uncle, whatever, that, you don't need to do that exam, that the PSA tells you everything. And the fact is that the PSA is a pretty good screening test, but it's not the only information that you can get. And this physical exam adds a little bit more information and sometimes allows us to pick up, abnormalities in the prostate that the PSA is not going to tell us about.
Yeah, and I guess the next question is your cousin, brother, uncle, where did they get their medical degree? Always a good follow-up to the thing about medicine. Let's leave that to the doctors. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about prostate health tonight. If you have a comment or a question, the doctor is in. We lost Cynthia. Cynthia calling from Laurel. Give us a call back if you can. So, Dr. Metwali, I said at the beginning of the program, you're talking about men take 10. You can find out a lot from 10 seconds. Does it really take just 10 seconds for you to figure out whether or not to schedule more exams or to let the patient, go home with a clean bill of health?
Well, on average, it's about that. Occasionally, it takes a little bit longer, especially if you've got something funky going on in there. Obviously, guys with bigger prostates, it takes a little bit longer to get your finger across it and feel the whole thing. But at the end of the day, if you're on the receiving end of the exam, it probably feels like a lot longer than 10 seconds, even if it's only 10 seconds.
How early should a man have his first prostate exam? What age is suggested, and then how frequently?
Yeah, that varies. There's not a one-size-fits-all type situation, but there's some general guidelines. Certainly, if you're African-American, you should probably be evaluated in the 40 to 45 range the first time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not African-American, then that can start at 50. If you have a family history, however, whatever ethnicity you happen to be, then you probably need to be getting checked out around 40, 45. And then how frequently really depends on what that initial screening tells us. If you're a young man, otherwise healthy, no family history of prostate cancer, and you have a normal digital rectal exam, prostate exam, and the PSA is under 1, you may not necessarily need another exam in a year. Typically, we've historically made recommendations that everybody get checked on a yearly basis. But it turns out not everybody needs to be checked out every year. Sometimes you can push it out to every 2 years or that kind of thing, particularly if the PSA number is low and the exam is normal.
Yeah.
If the PSA is the higher it is, probably the more frequently you need to be getting checked. And if there are any sort of abnormalities on the exam, especially with larger glands or asymmetrical glands, you probably need to be getting checked at least every year.
Okay. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about prostate health on this Medical Monday. Andre calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Andre. What's on your mind?
Okay, good afternoon. I'm calling from Baltimore, and I have caught cancer 2 times since 2016, but I caught it because I did a prostate exam. I stayed with my doctor, and he kept telling me, get your prostate check or keep an eye on your PSA number. So once my number started going up and I caught cancer the first time in 2016, I was cancer-free for 4.5 years, and it just came back a second time in January. But because I caught it, catching my PSA numbers and going to the doctor every 6 months. But the men, I'm telling you, you must go to the doctor because I did not know that I had cancer the first time. It was on a regular checkup. I'm a 20-year veteran, so I was on a regular checkup with my doctor. When he told me I had cancer, I couldn't believe it because I wasn't feeling nothing at all. And he said, Andre, it's because you caught it in time. I'm just going to say to the men, I'm telling you, you better go to the doctor. Damn that little thing about your finger going up there, he gonna do it one way or the other. But you need to go and get your physical and check that PSA number. My second time, I know I got a minute, my second time my PSA number was 1.8, but it was 0.0 for almost 4.5 years. And now I'm on hormone therapy. I have 82 radiation C's in my prostate. I'm healthy. I just got the disease of the cancer. Thank you very much.
Andre, thank you so much. Real quick, doctor, before I go to the break, and Kim calling from Upper Marlboro, we are going to talk to you, so please don't hang up. But he was talking about the PSA. I know we've discussed this time and time again, but there's always a person out there who does not know what PSA is, what the numbers mean, and Andre talked quite a bit about that. Give me the cliff notes on PSA if you can.
Absolutely. And Andre's story is very, very common. Most men are diagnosed that way. They don't generally present with symptoms, believe it or not. So PSA is an enzyme that is found in the blood. It stands for prostate-specific antigen, which is a little bit of a misnaming because it's not really specific to the prostate, and it's certainly not specific to prostate cancer. But what we find is that the higher that number goes, the more likely there is a cancer in the prostate. It can go up for other reasons, infection, enlargement, some other things like that. But the higher it is, the more likely there's a cancer. And we've had a variety of thresholds over the year. Right now, we kind of use 4, but it really depends on your age. The younger you are, the lower it should be. The older you are, the kind of higher we're willing to accept. And it's not just an absolute number, but it's also how fast it's rising. I'd be a lot more concerned about a guy in his 50s if his PSA went from 1 to 2 in a year than I'm worried about, you know, a guy in his 70s whose PSA went from 3 to 4. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the rate of rise combined with age, that's why it's really important to have these conversations with your doctor, because there's a lot of nuance involved with that, and there's not like an absolute threshold, yes or no, below this you're fine and above this you're not fine. You have to kind of take all the numbers into account, and the more data points you get, the more PSAs you get, the better you can interpret what it means, you know. So a one-off here and there coming every 3 to 5 years or something like that's not going to get it done.
Okay. We're going to take a break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about prostate cancer health on this Medical Monday. As I said, Kim calling from Upper Marlboro. Hang in there with us. We're going to talk to you next. Also, Dwight on the phone right now. We're going to talk to you as well. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. I'm Harold Fisher. John Bonds is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about prostate cancer health. Of course, this weekend, the Howard University Cancer Center is holding a special event, a film screening for the film Black Walnut that focuses on African Americans and prostate cancer health. The event is free. It is free, but you have to register. You can go to Eventbrite and do a search of the phrase Black Walnut. The first 50 men over the age of 40 will receive a voucher for a free prostate cancer screening. We're trying to keep the guys healthy and happy out there. If you have a comment or a question tonight, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. My guests are Dr. Adam Metwali, Chief of the Urology Division of Howard University's Cancer Center, and Clinton Burnside, the Senior Outreach Coordinator of the Howard University Cancer Center. Let's go to Kim calling from Upper Marlboro. Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I came in late. I'm sorry. I was driving.
That's quite all right.
But I wanted to say that I don't know if people know that black men die at 4 times the rate of any other race of prostate cancer. But I also wanted to say that they are also, black men are often given a more, I don't know how to say this, but treatments that will affect their lifestyle more adversely than any other races. And sometimes they're not even offered some of the therapies that would be less invasive, like radio, I think there's a radio pellet treatment that sends radiation in pellet form to the cancer. Sometimes those treatments are not even offered to black men, but they're more often treated in a way that affects their sexuality, their ability to perform sexually, and also the urination issues. So if anyone, if there's a black man out there listening who is diagnosed with prostate cancer, to make sure that they know all the treatments that are available specifically for their type of cancer.
Okay.
They're not always, the better treatments are not always offered to black men.
Well, Kim, thank you so much. Clinton, your thoughts about what Kim was sharing with us.
Yeah, I mean, I have to somewhat agree with what she's saying, in that oftentimes the treatment options for black men are oftentimes a little different than some of the other men of other ethnicities. But I think the key is really the early detection. So I would encourage all men, just like she said, to go to see your doctor and have the conversation. And then, because the bottom line is, we don't wish prostate or any cancer on anyone. But if you happen to be diagnosed, if you catch it in the earliest stages, your chances of survival are much, much better. And even your treatment options, you'll have more treatment options. So we encourage everyone, like Dr. Majwali said, if you're at high risk, being African-American, we want, in terms of prostate cancer screenings, we want you to start having that conversation and get your, at least that initial screening in your early 40s. And then kind of make the decision on how often you should go back. But yes, Kim, I completely agree with you that we do see differences in treatments that are offered.
Mm-hmm. 202. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Metwali.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely disparities in terms of access. We even see it in our practice. For example, brachytherapy, which is the radioactive seeds that she was referring to, is not something we offer at Howard. So if we want patients to have that, or we want them to explore it, they have to go somewhere else, which, you know, with certain segments of the population is very challenging to do. It's hard enough to get, you know, to Howard to see us. Prior to my arriving at Howard, we didn't have a surgical robot, so we couldn't offer robotic prostatectomy. So there are access issues that do result in disparities of care. They're really, really well documented. And those are thought to be the primary driver behind the increased death rate that is seen among African-American men. So there's definitely work that needs to be done so that each patient has the opportunity to select the treatment that's best for them and have the full smorgasbord of options able to be presented to them.
Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dwight, calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Dwight, are you there? Dwight, give us a call back. Dwight, can you hear me? Oh, okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So we kind of got a head start on the issues regarding treatment. So let's kind of talk, Dr. Metwali, about the range of treatments and, you know, from the first kinds of treatment, the least invasive, the least complex, all the way up to the most complex.
Sure. Well, our friend Andre earlier in the call kind of gave us a primer for that, because you really want to think about the disease in sort of two categories. One is localized, and there's a certain set of treatments for localized disease. And then the other is metastatic, and that's when it's spread outside the prostate, and that's a different set of treatments. And for localized prostate cancer, that's where surgery and radiation and cryoablation and HIFU and things like that come in. And I'll kind of explain each one. So surgery is the surgical removal of the prostate. For those who don't know the anatomy so well, the prostate sits right next to the bladder, where the bladder narrows down and the urine passes into the urethra and then out the penis. So you have to remove the prostate and then basically sew the urethra back to the bladder. And so, you know, for most men who undergo surgery, they're in their 50s or 60s, and they, you know, have been urinating with a prostate in place for 50 or 60 years, and they have to relearn how to control their urine. And so there's a period of incontinence where you have trouble controlling your urine after surgery. Most men, particularly the younger that they are and the healthier that they are, will regain control of their urine, but some men don't. And they'll have occasional leakage if they cough or laugh or sneeze. And occasionally, rarely, you know, some men will have a lot of difficulty and require another surgery to get control of the urine.
Mm-hmm.
The nerves that control your erection sit on either side of the prostate as well. And so those have to be protected during the surgery. But, you know, any kind of operation down there can damage those nerves, which can negatively affect your ability to have erections. Surgery, I think, for younger men is considered the gold standard. And then the other alternatives would be radiation, and that can be delivered either with the radioactive seeds that we talked about called brachytherapy, which basically cooks the prostate from the inside out, or external beam radiation, or what they call cyberknife, which is basically where you shoot radiation from the outside in, and you cook the prostate, essentially. Radiation causes DNA damage, and what that ultimately results in is that when the prostate cancer cells try to reproduce themselves, they can't, and it ultimately ends up resulting in scar tissue. That's a process that occurs over the course of about 18 to 24 months, maybe a little bit longer, depending on the size of the prostate. And, you know, it can have its own different kinds of side effects. Obviously, the nerves that sit on either side of the prostate get irradiated as well. So over the next couple, 3 years, the erectile function tends to deteriorate. But in fairness, if you follow any 50 or 60-year-old man over 2 to 3 years, probably going to see somewhat of a decrease in their erectile function anyway. You know, incontinence is less common, but you can get radiation to the bladder, which can result in a secondary bladder cancer, and it can result in some bladder overactivity and that sort of thing. And then cryotherapy is not, it's used commonly for salvage, you know, recurrences after radiation. It's basically where you put probes in the prostate and you freeze it, and that's just another way to destroy the tissue. Typically better for men who have very poor erections, because if you're going to make an ice ball to freeze the prostate, it has to be big enough to get the whole prostate, which means you're freezing the nerves too. So if they don't work anyway, and you come into this treatment with no good erections, then it doesn't really affect you that much. But if you have good erections, you're going to freeze those nerves, and they're not necessarily going to work very well. And then HIFU stands for High Intensity Focused Ultrasound. Recently approved by the FDA, I basically lump it into one of these secondary treatments like cryo. Some people swear by it. I think the data is not as robust as it is for surgery and radiation. Those, I think, are roughly equivalent in terms of their ability to cure the prostate cancer. So, you know, in terms of best, better treatments, you know, surgery and radiation are considered the gold standard. We tend to favor radiation for older men because older men have a lot more trouble recovering from surgery and regaining their ability to control their urine, their continence. For younger men, we typically lean towards surgery. They tend to have better outcomes. And in younger men, you expect them to live longer. And the longer you live after radiation, the higher your risk of a secondary cancer might be. So that's kind of just a rough thumbnail sketch of what the local treatments are.
Mm-hmm.
For metastatic prostate cancer, hormonal treatment is the cornerstone. That's the very first thing that you start with. And then you go from there. When I started my training, you know, 20 years ago, that was really all there was. In the last 10 or 12 years, we've probably got more than a half a dozen different therapies, all of which have been shown to prolong survival with metastatic prostate cancer. So it's a pretty exciting time as far as it being a urologic oncologist, because we have so many different treatment options now for men with metastatic disease. It used to be that, you know, if the cancer came back after a local treatment, you put them on hormones. When the hormones stopped working, there really wasn't a whole lot else to do. And now we've got lots and lots of things, each of which will prolong survival, typically on an average of about, you know, 2 years or so, give or take.
Okay.
So you know, that's where you get into things like secondary hormones or chemotherapy, things like that, all of which tend to improve quality of life, believe it or not, and certainly extend the quantity of life by a significant period of time.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about prostate health on this Medical Monday. Dwight, calling from Virginia. You called back. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I appreciate you having me. And thank you for having this conversation.
Sure.
I usually go to the doctor on the regular. The app made me aware that my PSA levels were going up. It was at 8.9. Make a long story short, we did the radiation treatment. So a few surgeries. And now I'm down to a 2.9. For the people that are listening, please don't let the manhood get in the way. It's uncomfortable, but it's not painful. Just go out and get yourself taken care of, because you'd rather have it taken care of while you can take care of it versus you have it and you can't take care of it. And that's all I needed to say.
Dwight, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Go right ahead.
I'd like to thank Dwight for saying that. It's really, really important for men to understand that the, you know, prostate exam is uncomfortable. I mean, you know, there are not a lot of people out there that would do it for fun. But it's important to do. And one of the things that I've found is that sometimes the anxiety and the dread of going through that makes it worse than it has to be. And so if we can start getting men to understand that, look, this is something you got to do, but it's not really that big of a deal, and it's certainly not painful, it's just a little bit uncomfortable, and it's over in a second, you know, then maybe people will be less anxious about it, and it'll actually be less of a traumatic event for some men. I think there are men who get build it up in their heads that this is just going to be the most awful thing, or that it somehow is an attack on their sexuality or something like that, and it really becomes a negative thing, and it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah, and I've been saying not only on this program, but in, you know, my circle of friends, that, as you said, no, this is not an attack on sexuality. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah, it's not fun, but it's not painful. And it's quick. I've had, since my mid-40s, I've had three of them. And, it's not as bad as getting a needle. Needles hurt. But this is, it's something that, as I said in the beginning of the program, it is better to go through 10 seconds of discomfort and be healthy than for you to avoid it and then find out much later that you've got a much bigger problem, a potentially terminal problem. Just, take your medicine, get it done. And talk to your guys about it. Talk to your barber about it. You've got to, get the word out. And Clinton, in your capacity, I'm sure that you have had both successes and failures as far as convincing, the masses that they need to have this issue addressed. Clinton, can you hear me?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. With a lot of the community outreach work that I do, I'm always encountering men. Some men, they'll come up to me. What is this all about? Let me learn a little bit more about it. And then I also have some men say, well, what is that, prostate? You got to do what? No way. I don't even want to hear the conversation. What I try to encourage men to do is, I use myself for an example. So I'm a black man in my mid-40s. So I'm of that age where it's time for me to start having these regular conversations and even regular doctor visits as well to make sure I'm healthy. So what I try to encourage people, if you're unable to do it for yourself, think about your loved ones. Like for me, I have two boys and a daughter and a wife. So it's not something that I'm looking forward to in terms of the process, but I want to do it so that I can have a much longer life to live with my family so that they can enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's what it's truly all about for me.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Jeff, calling from Alabama. What part of Alabama are you calling from, Jeff?
I am calling from Dothan, Alabama.
How Dothan, yeah. South Central Alabama.
okay, if you want to call it that.
much farther south in Alabama. Yeah, I know about Alabama. What's on your mind, man?
Listen, I don't want to speak negative, but I've got to share some experiences that I've had, particularly here in this area in the southeast state or southeast United States. As a retired military veteran and also a former helicopter pilot, I'm required or was required for 28 years to get a prostate exam. I still do that, but now I do it every 6 months. Now, I have had numbers that would be sometimes a 4.0, a 6.0, 8.0, and it would fluctuate up and down. I've done MRIs that gave me some positive feedback, but I refused to get the biopsy, and here is the reason why. The last exam that I had from a urologist, I had a digital exam first, and then he had me to go and do a blood sample. Well, how about my PSA came back at an unbelievably high level, like 26 or 27 or something like that, and he tried to impress upon me, but because I had done my own research, because I took control of these things and that matter, no one ever discussed with me the possibility of having BPH.
What is BPH?
I can't pronounce it.
Before he finishes, real quick, what is BPH, Dr. Medwali?
It stands for benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is basically just an enlarged prostate. That's what we, kind of in regular English call it. It's normally the prostate's about the size of a walnut. Some guys have
big
prostates that are as big as my fist. And when they do, it often is accompanied with, like urinary symptoms and stuff, but not always. And it definitely can be a cause of having the PSA go up.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead finish your point, Jeff.
So my point is that make sure that you do your own homework, man. This is important for black men that we get this done. In my community, in my family, black men didn't talk about this thing, but because of the kind of work that I had, I had the opportunity to hear a lot of information from other men that had issues, not necessarily black men. And so when I began to have these numbers fluctuate up and down, I realized how important it was for me, the individual, to learn about prostate cancer, the different treatments, the different ways that things can be detected, because there are some urologists out here just playing around. As a matter of fact, real quick, I had one gentleman in this area, gave me a digital exam, and he wanted to explain to me and show me how he can make me urinate and all of this kind of stuff. Like, dude, I don't have time for that. So you have things like that that are also going on. But the good side is that I did my own homework. I know that there are different PSA levels based upon your experiences. And being a former helicopter instructor, sitting in that particular environment, a lot of men have bladder and prostate issues. But I just wanted to give my experience. It's something that we do need to do, but men need to do their own research. Don't depend on the doctor always to give you the right research.
Well, it sounds to me, Dr. Medwali, that this is a prime example, not just as it relates to prostate health, but for any health care issue for men or women, for anyone, that this is where you need second opinions and to really take control of your own health, to advocate for yourself.
Absolutely. I think that it's really, really important, as Jeff said, to do as much research as you can understand so you come armed with questions that you can ask the doctor. And frankly, picking your doctor is a lot like picking a friend. You got to have some kind of rapport where you can talk and exchange information. They need to be able to talk to you in a way that you understand and take the time to do it. And it's hard to find people like that sometimes because, you know, we're all busy and we're trying to get through the day and that sort of thing. And, you know, doctors are no different than, you know, anyone else. I mean, some are better than others, and, you know, not everybody's a superstar, you know, and doctors make mistakes sometimes. You know, it's actually a known thing that you
go ahead.
You don't check the PSA after a digital rectal exam because you know it's going to make the PSA go up. So if I do a digital rectal exam and then decide I need to do a PSA, I typically tell the patient that they got to wait a couple of days before they get the blood drawn. You know, and so that's important. And, you know, the conversations about, you know, urinating and that kind of stuff probably is related to a diagnosis of BPH. But if it's not spelled out and, you know, the patient's thinking that, we're here to screen for prostate cancer and then the urologist is talking about, you know, stuff for BPH without actually explaining what it is or why it's important, you know, it can lead to miscommunications and misunderstandings. So I agree that you know, it's really important if you're being evaluated for anything having to do with your health, you should try and build up as much of a knowledge base as you can and come armed with questions because it starts conversations and you end up learning about what's going on. Because nobody's going to take better care of your business than you do, and that includes your health.
Okay. Kate, calling from Virginia. Kate, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I had a question for the doctor. My father has metastatic prostate cancer, stage 4, and he's been through the hormone therapy, worked for a couple years. He also went on Xtandi and did that as long as that worked. And then it spread to the spine, and he had palliative radiation, and he's now doing Zofigo. He just started Zofigo, but he's definitely declined a lot, and he had a very, very high PSA even when he was diagnosed. He actually had an elevated PSA in 2009, and the doctor didn't flag it in the file, so it wasn't flagged until it became, you know, stage 4. And my question for you is just whether or not you have any outside-the-box type ideas. I tuned in right when you were talking about how there's so many options and so forth. I was just curious what reaction you had.
Yeah, so, you know, he's already had Xtandi, which is one of the secondary hormonal manipulations that I was referring to. There's also a treatment called abiraterone, which can sometimes work after Xtandi doesn't. There's obvious, you know, it depends on your you said he's really deteriorated quite a bit, which is kind of tough. You may want to consider chemotherapy, which sometimes can really help, especially in men with, you know, primary bone metastases. So if you talk to a medical oncologist, you know, sometimes the urologists want to kind of keep the patient all to themselves, but it's worth talking to a medical oncologist who specializes in prostate cancer because docetaxel is not your, you know, mother's chemotherapy where the hair falls out and you're vomiting all over the place.
Yeah, he had that before he started all the rest of it, the docetaxel. And we looked at the PARP inhibitor, but he doesn't have BRAC 1
or
2.
Yeah, so it sounds like he's gone through most of, you know, most of the laundry list of treatments for metastatic prostate cancer. And unfortunately, you know, none of those things is curative. They all sort of have a shelf life, and you know, eventually the prostate cancer is going to get you and it's really difficult.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. There's a new therapy, the PSMA, which I guess is approved in Germany, and Novartis has applied to get approval here in the U.S. So that's one that's kind of out there on the horizon, but it's not yet available here. So that was the one other thing that I sort of read about and we looked at.
Well, the other thing that you may want to consider is a clinical trial at this point.
Yep.
Clinical trials are where you can get access to things that aren't quite approved yet, but might be in Germany. And certainly if it shows some good effect, you know, in other countries and we're just going through the regulatory process here, it certainly would be worth looking into that.
If he did one already. I know. I'm just pulling at straws, I know. But I figured I would just try. Hey, why not?
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, you know, you're in Virginia. Is he in Virginia too?
He's in Madison, Wisconsin. He's been with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, so they do actually a lot of research there. So he had one clinical.
Oh, yeah, they're great. I know a number of the urologists up there. That's a very good program. So he's in excellent hands.
Okay. Well, it was good to ask the question. Thank you, doctor.
Kate, thank you so much
for
listening.
I don't have more for you.
Yeah.
Okay, take care.
Sure. I would like to allow Clinton to have kind of the last word, Clinton, as far as, number one, a quick rundown of what other programs our University Cancer Center offers, and just some final thoughts from you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for this opportunity again. And so just to kind of share some upcoming events, like we've talked about tonight several times, on this Saturday, April 30th, we're going to be showing the film The Black Walnut and having a health discussion and offering prostate screenings as well, starting at 10 a.m. And then on the second Wednesday of each month, we have a group called Men's Health Awareness Clubs. That's a group where it's mainly men. We get together virtually to have discussions on men's health topics, and we invite different healthcare professionals to come in and share the latest information. And that occurs on the second Wednesday of each month, starting at 5:30. We also are partnering with the AmeriGroup DC, and we're offering, but we're also providing additional educational groups throughout the year. We're planning some big events in June as well as September. So keep listening for the opportunities, participate in some of those events. But yeah, right now we really want you to go to eventbrite.com and register for the event on this coming Saturday, The Black Walnut. And I promise you it will definitely be a blessing for you and the loved ones in your life. So we look forward for you joining us on Saturday.
And like I said, that link, I will post the Eventbrite link on WHUR.com. That will be there along with the podcast, as it is every single night on this program after 8:30. So please check that out, Eventbrite, and look up The Black Walnut. Clinton Burnside and Dr. Adam Metwalli, thank you both for sharing with us. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for giving us the opportunity. Really appreciate it.
Sure thing. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, April 25th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.